From this day forward, we will have surgical masks available at the entrance. We will also have hand sanitizers available. Some of the churches in Singapore has explained to the congregation that you need not shake hands. You can go vanakkam, or you can go like this, you know, whichever way, but minimize contact. If you come in with coughing, doesn't mean you cough, we need to be scared. But if you are coughing, please help yourself with a mask. If you are weak in immunity, you know, put on for protection. We no need to be scared of each other, but we need to be responsible towards each other. Okay? So let's not take any offense to that. Let us pray that this corona issue, this new virus, sounds like a very good beverage, but it's not. So I hope it will go away, right? And thank God for the SARS experience in the country. I think our government is a lot more poised, ready to attend, and I think we will do well. We will do well. But in the meantime, let us all look after ourselves well, avoid very crowded places, and look after ourselves, okay? It's very good that Preacher David is preaching and not myself. And I've always make sure that Chinese New Year, either Reverend Ong or Preacher David preach. Yeah. So let's pray. Our brother, in the midst of all his Chinese New Year, I'm sure he had no peace of mind. Right, very, very concerned about. His Chinese New Year only starts after the preaching. All right, so let's welcome brother. Give him some encouragement. Look at him with a smile so he knows he's getting through.
Morning. Wishing one and all a very blessed and prosperous Chinese New Year. Thank God for his protection, his peace, his guidance, and his provision for each and every one of us. At this time, as we look around at the world, there are many, many things, like what was mentioned about the coronavirus, many diseases, many things, even beyond the health side, even the weather. You can see the bushfires in Australia. Can see volcano eruptions, whether in New Zealand or the Philippines, or even military-wise, conflicts between countries, or even religious and racial persecutions. So as you look at the world around you, we are so sheltered in Singapore, but on the news, we hear of so many so-called terrible or difficult things that we hear of. And some of those even affect us even today. So even in our personal lives, when we look at them, look at our own lives and the lives of our loved ones, we realize that there are good things and bad things. And oftentimes we think that bad things and good things only come from the outside world. But when we look at the Bible, we realize that all of these things, whether from the outside or from within ourselves, all comes from the effect of sin. So let us look at what we are going to cover today. The text is from Genesis 6 to 9, but we'll be backtracking a bit to give us a bit of a background about today's topic, sin and God's good news and grace. Let me on this. Okay, let's talk about the origin of sin, the effects of sin, and because of sin, our need for God's grace. So let us revise a bit about how God formed the world in Genesis 1, from chaos to a world of order, You all know the days of creation, how God spoke everything into being on this earth, even the universe. And everything was good. And on the sixth day, God created us human beings. And it was very good. Everything was in order. But as Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, they were given one commandment. Only one commandment to obey. And that was, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God told them that if they were to eat, the consequence was that they would die. And they fell into temptation. They ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and God chased them out of the garden. And they were forbidden to go back. God planted two angels at the entrance of the garden to prevent them from going back. They were chased out of God's presence and the fellowship, the perfect fellowship that they had with God, and all because they were disobedient towards God. Okay, so let me read a few verses. Genesis 2:8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." And of course, Eve was created later. Genesis 3:6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." And verses 23 to 24 of chapter 3 says that God chased them out of his presence, the perfect fellowship that they had. So let us move on to the origin of sin. As Mark said, is they ate of the fruit, and there were three attitudes that they had when they ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, the origin of sin. Adam and Eve ate the fruit. There were three attitudes that they had. The spirit of unbelief. Remember, God specifically told them that they were not to eat of the fruit. But the snake came and told them, "Ye have God said." And he questioned whether God had said that they were not to eat of every single, they were to able to eat of every single fruit and that was available to them in the garden. And this placed the seed of doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve. Satan, through this creature, the snake, placed this doubt in them. Genesis 2:16 to 17 tells us, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So a direct violation, a direct disobedience of God's commandment. And it gives rise to the spirit of idolatry. What looks, feels, and seems good to Eve and Adam? They look at the fruit. It looks good. And then when they took the fruit from the tree, it feels good. It looks nice, even nicer, closer to their eyes. And then Eve took a bite. It tastes nice. And then she gave to her husband. And he also looked at it and then ate. Tastes nice too. And there were consequences that they did not think about it. They may have thought, I eat, see whether I die immediately. But God's commandments are far-reaching, have far-reaching consequences. They did not immediately die. And we will see that later on. There's this spirit of rebellion, deciding what is good for themselves. Maybe they thought, oh yeah, die, never mind. Maybe I just enjoy what I know to be good and evil. Maybe that is even better than death itself. Maybe God will be very gracious. Imagine God walking with them personally in the Garden of Eden. Maybe they were thinking, maybe God won't be so heartless and he will be so loving to us. Even if we were to do this, maybe he will overlook it. So sometimes in our lives, we may see these three spirits of unbelief, idolatry and rebellion in ourselves. Maybe not right now, but in seasons, periods of life, when we face certain issues, how do we react to what God wants us to do? Adam and Eve similarly given directions what to do. Similarly, in our lives, we are given directions, things that really God wants us to accomplish for him. And do we come to this point and saying, I know better. God, I know better. God, I wish you can understand me. God, I want to pray and commit this thing into your hands. But in the end, oftentimes these three attitudes comes back to self. What we want for ourselves, not what God wants in your life. So as we reflect on these three attitudes, let us think, what should be the proper response in our lives? As I mentioned, is one of obedience, submission, our willingness to follow God's direction in our lives. So what was the effect of sin? The effects of sin, work becomes hard and painful. From smooth going to needing much more hard work. Sweating, there were thorns and thistles in the soil that were once so perfect. Anything can grow. But Adam had to work hard in order to make sure the plants and crops grew. And also childbearing was also mentioned to be painful. Relational conflicts. When God asked Adam, why did you eat of the fruit? Immediately he pointed to Eve and said, there, the woman that you gave to me, gave the fruit to me, so I ate. And then God asked Eve. Then Eve immediately pointed to the snake. We can see this blame-shifting game. Everyone seems to think, oh, I'm not responsible for the decisions that I make. The circumstances, the people around me force me to make certain decisions. And after that, the world became imperfect. Instead of a perfect world that was filled with love and taking care of one another, Cain killed Abel. This is mentioned in Genesis 4. And then there's this mention of a person called Lamech killing another person. in Genesis 4, the same chapter. And you can see the effects of sin is people killing one another, the relational conflict. And all of us can attest to that. When we relate to other people, is it perfect? In no sense, in reality, we can say no. Maybe there are people that we can relate to in a good sense. But there are difficult people that cause our lives to be difficult. So relational conflict came into being. And God mentioned death. If you were to eat of this fruit, you would die. What did he mean about it? So physical death, of course, everyone would die one day. No one can escape this phase of death. All of us would live to a certain point, and then we have to leave this earth and meet God. They did not die immediately, but eventually all of human beings all died. But more importantly is the fact of spiritual death. There's two aspects, one physical death and one spiritual death. What is spiritual death? It means that this perfect fellowship with God is disrupted. We no longer have this perfect ability to have this perfect relationship with God. Let me read a few verses. Genesis 3:8. It talks about God walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. And Genesis, and let me read a few verses. Ephesians 2:1. And you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. And Psalm 51 verse 5. Behold, I was sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So this sin, sinful nature, through this action of Adam and Eve, were passed down to all of us. And this affected our relationship with God, and also, as I mentioned, our relationship with others. And the spread of wickedness and evil throughout the whole earth. Genesis 6, 1 to 5. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of men, the sons of God, came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. So this talks about the effects of sin, not only limited in the lives of Adam and Eve. This sinful nature passed down and affected the lives of everyone on the earth. And throughout all generations, it passed down to each and every single human being that would live on this earth. So evil and wickedness is the default setting of our human hearts. It always tends to lead us away from God. That's our natural, sinful human self. The effects of wickedness and sin was spreading. And that was why there was this judgment. Judgment came in the form of the worldwide flood. God determined for himself, since wickedness is so pervasive, he sent the worldwide flood to wipe out all human beings, the source of all wickedness and evilness in this world. So from chaos to a world of order, and then God wiped out. The second picture is one of the world totally covered by water. So this is God's judgment, the solution that he came up with, the first one, to wipe out all human beings. But in the midst of his judgment, God still provides his grace to Noah. There was this one person, Noah, who is described as righteous. Verse 8 tells us, but in chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And verses 18 to 22, but with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And they will take every sum of every living creature into the ark. Creeping things, flying birds, and every sort. And even they will take food into the ark for sustenance. And God provided. Imagine only Noah, his wife, and his family were able to enter the ark. Out of everyone on the earth, imagine how small the righteous remnant was. You can imagine the whole earth. We do not know the population of the whole earth. Imagine the perversiveness of wickedness. Can imagine. Only one family were able to say, and God is not what Noah said of himself, but God commanded Noah, you are righteous. That's why I give you this way of grace. So God instructed Noah to build this ark. And through this, he managed to survive the flood. He and his family was the only one who managed to survive the flood. But this worldwide flood is just a temporary solution. Remember, no one, even physical cleansing, could not bring about spiritual cleansing. Our sinful nature is still there. This temporary measure of a worldwide flood is just temporary. Genesis 6, 5 to 6, as I read, talks about the wickedness, the perversiveness of man who was before the flood. And as we read in Genesis 8, 21, okay, Genesis 9, 21. I think there's a typo. And he, Noah, drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And after that, one of his sons went in and saw his nakedness. And then he told his two brothers. And Noah said, condemn this son that saw his wickedness and made it known to others. So in effect, the flood did not manage to wipe or cleanse the wickedness, the sinfulness of man's heart. We do not know whether it was a sin to drink, but in the end, Noah's son it would be something not right to make known other people's sins to others. But in an attempt, actually he could have covered and then made everything good in that sense. So in a way, as we read of this account of Noah becoming drunk, and then one of his sons making known his nakedness to his two brothers, we can imagine sin, the effects of sin is still there. Even God tried to preserve this righteous remnant. But even within this remnant, there's this element of sin still there. And it's the same for us as people of God, that this same sinful nature is still present with us. But we have the Holy Spirit in us that helps us to overcome sin. As we submit to God, Holy Spirit will continue to lead and guide us. This is God's grace in the midst of our lives. Provision of the Holy Spirit to strengthen, to guide us, to give us wisdom as we go through life, and to stand firm for Him. And His grace is available to all. The only thing that we need to do is to accept this gift of God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Remember, I said, God saved Noah because God said he was righteous. But even this righteous man fell to a certain degree. And all of us cannot be saved because of our righteousness. It is only through God's work in our life, God's gift of salvation that all of us need to receive. Not only at that one point of salvation, but continue to work out this element of salvation in our lives. Because it's not only at one point. Salvation is not only at that point that you receive Christ. But as you allow Him to work out His salvation in your life, to allow Him to mold you according to His image. His grace is available to all. The only responsibility that we have is to accept this gift and to help others to receive this gift. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So only God's righteousness is able to cover our sins, and we are seen to be righteous in God's eyes. So for any one of us here who have yet to receive Christ, may I urge you to seriously consider God's gift of salvation in your lives. So you do not know how long that we would each live on this earth. God gives us each and every opportunity to receive His gift, His gracious gift of salvation. So let us not neglect this opportunity. The simple gospel is to accept and believe what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. We are not able to save our own selves. We need to accept this gift of salvation. Christ died for us on the cross for our sins. He paid the price on our behalf. And if we believe it, that he also was buried, rose again for our sins, we are able to have this new life in Christ. Not only this physical life, but even life beyond physical death. As I mentioned, this perfect relationship with God can be restored on this earth to a certain degree. And as we go back to our home in heaven, it will be restored perfectly. And this is God's gift of salvation that's available to all. So for those who have yet to receive Christ, this is God's gift and offer of salvation to you. So his grace helps us to be righteous. Genesis 6, 8 to 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And at the end of verse 9, actually in verse 9 it also mentions, Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So God's salvation helps us to walk righteously, and it's not the other way around. When we walk righteously, then we are saved by God. Sometimes in our Christian understanding or practically in our lives, we come to that point and say, when we walk righteously, then God will accept us. This comes to a form of legalism, in a sense. But when we realize when we are saved by God, God gives us the strength, his grace, to walk righteously. It's only when we are saved, we have this heart that is geared towards God, always looking to him, always depending on him, to lead and guide us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So let us work on developing our relationship with God. So as this year we are concentrating on God's word, it's not a fulfilling, reading through or memorizing. But what is the main aim of all these activities, programs that the church has come up with? Is to help you to refocus on God, to deepen your walk. As you read through the Bible, I pray that it's not only reading for reading's sake, but as you read, always pray that God will impact your heart for his word. When you read, read with understanding. And to pray that God will touch your heart with the reading for the day. And memorizing his word. That his word will guide us in our service, our work for him. And give us even the passion for souls. Back in Bible college, is intention. It's not only the belief, but to pray for God to give us the direction, the specific intention for us, who to develop relationship, who to reach out to, who to really, with our lives, be living testimonies of the gospel. And that is what God wants us to do, not only in church, but also in the world outside. And Noah, we are not told, he worked on the ark for so long. I believe as people ask him, why are you working on the ark? I think it's an opportunity to witness for God. I think all of us, at times in our lives, will have opportunities to witness for God. People ask us questions. People observe us and think for themselves, what is this difference that God is working in your life? And this is the opportunity to really answer them, not only on a human level, but on a spiritual level, that God grant us wisdom. Be prepared at every time to give an answer of the hope that is within us. Yeah. So what is our commitment to God's grace? From Genesis 6 to 9, it's actually the story of Noah. And in one verse it mentions, I think in verse chapter 8, I'm not sure whether it's verse 1, it says that God remembered Noah, even in the midst of judgment, in the midst of living in this corrupted world. God remembered who Noah was. I think it's a comfort to all of us as well. God remembers us, each and every one of us, as his dear and precious child of his. As we remember who we are his children. We are given his protection, his provision, his grace to live our lives on this earth. God remembers us, and this is the comfort that each of us would have. So we being recipients of God's grace, as I mentioned, we need to spread the good news to others. 1 John 1:3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, as we have received God's grace, saved by him, we have this privilege and responsibility to make known the good news to others. So one question that I have in this area is, as I mentioned, whom do each of us need to intentionally develop the friendship to eventually share the gospel with? It could be your school store owners that you often buy your food from. You often come into contact with them. Or even outside coffee shops, or even maybe your school cleaners, or even your army camp mates, or even your work colleagues that you often spend time with, going out for lunch or dinner and so on, or even your project mates, or even for those who are retired as you go about the neighborhood, or you do voluntary work, service, come into contact with people. And that is what God wants us to do, to witness for him. We need also to constantly depend on God's grace and not on ourselves to go through the mountains and valleys of life. 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. It's often that we think God's grace has saved me, and that is enough. But as we go through life, we realize the reality of God's sustaining grace. The difficulties that we go through, the relational conflicts, the circumstances that come about, it could be loss of job, loss of loved one, circumstances that we cannot control, it suddenly comes upon us. And we need to realize that all the more we need God's grace to be with us. God's grace has saved us, and God's grace will continue to lead us and strengthen us in our lives. And as I look back on my life, it is by God's grace as well. It's not by my human effort,
human efforts are limited. And even though I try my best, but I realize in the end, God has always provided. It's not that we don't do our part. But when we do our best, we realize our best cannot be compared to God's best for us. And as we do our best, we also need to make sure that it is in the same direction as God wants us to do and be for His praise and glory. So as we have this picture, total picture of God's grace, which area of your life do you need to more intentionally surrender to God? Allow His grace to work in your life. Noah committed his life to God. But we do not know much of his sons, their direction. But the blessings that come into our families, we further need to develop in our families this area of God's grace. Even in our own families, we need to continue to make sure that God's grace continues in our families intentionally. Spiritual passing down is not natural. It takes effort and intention on our part. As I mentioned, is the passing on, the sharing of the gospel. But this also extends to our own families. Oftentimes, we take it for granted. And we often think that our children would just understand and take it on for themselves. But even then, when our children do not understand it, actually, I actually believe in the power of prayer as well. Praying for God's grace to be upon each and every one of our family, our children, especially for those who have strayed away. So do pray, not only for yourselves, because that's the natural tendency, but pray for one another, for God's grace and strength to be given. And you can pray often for one another, for God's work to be done in each and every family right here in Galilee Church as well. So two questions that I will leave with you is, who do you want to intentionally reach out to? And two, which area of your life do you need to more intentionally commit to God? And third is linked to the first one. And I think it's not a question. It's a commitment for us to pray for one another right here in Galilee Church. The spiritual direction of each family right here in Galilee Church. So as we close, let us pray for one another and also consider the two questions right in front of you. So I give a few minutes and I will close in prayer. Let us spend this time in prayer. Dear Almighty Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your grace that have saved us and continue to lead us through our lives. May we not keep this grace to ourselves, but help us to extend your grace, your gift of salvation, to be made known to others, and help us in our families too, to ensure that this grace continues to work in the life of our loved ones and family members too. Commit ourselves into your hands, that you give us the wisdom and your grace to continue to walk with you, so that your grace continues to be worked out in our lives to your praise and glory. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.